All right, folks, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, dogs and cats, welcome to the Eric Anders Lang Show. We have got a relatively speaking live episode of the podcast here from the outside of the PGA Merchandise Show here in sunny Orlando, Florida. It is cloudy today, and looks like it's a good chance of rain. It was just raining, and I'm sitting on a concrete sort of, it's not even a wall, really. It's more of a concrete barrier to a wonderfully tropical set of trees. You can hear the rolling suitcase of a gentleman getting off of his ride share, going into the PGA Show to hopefully get rich and famous in the golf industry. And I'm here to tell you my story. You can hear my lanyard. I'm going to take that off. Got my lanyard on. I'm doing this episode with no headphones, so the audio quality is shite. Don't need to send me a DM because I'm pretty much, I'm not aware of it because I don't have any headphones. But I am here early this morning. It's 7 a.m. Got up at the old 6 a.m. alarm went off. Beautiful. Another man with a rolling suitcase I see in the distance just heading into the PGA Show as though he's being lifted up into heaven, the heaven of golf. The heaven of golf commerce, that is. No one's playing golf inside, and I think a lot of people inside don't play golf. But, you know, there's all golfers here, and that's really the best part of the PGA Show. Anyway, I'm really early for another episode of the Eric Anders Lang Show, where I'm going to introduce a very interesting man, and I will get to that later. But anyway, his name is Trent Jones, and he is the son of Robert Trent Jones II and the grandson, as you may be able to deduce, of Robert Trent Jones the first, which I don't think you need to say if he's just the first. But anyway, I'm very early to meet Trent, so I figured I'd just pop out the mic and get rolling in this. So you have to look forward to that. He's a really brilliant man, but I'll leave that for that episode. I just wanted to kind of catch up with y'all and let you know how it's been going. Grandma's very interested in everything that's been happening. And The weather outside is really pleasant. And, I think the reason why I'm here doing this is because a lot of you I met this week at the PGA Show. And those of you that came up and said you watched the show listened to it, rather. I just was inspired to do more of it because, you know, like anyone out there who's, you know, putting their life on the line, on tape, whether it's audio or video. You know, for some reason, we wound up doing it for you. And I didn't ever plan to do this. I think I say that all the time. But, I feel very grateful and very lucky to have this little Zoom recorder and this little microphone right by this tropical bouquet of, looks like there's some birds of paradise, some plants I recognize. Actually, I have no idea what a birds of paradise looks like. A bird of paradise is probably the most beautiful plant that's ever been planted. Thank you. Thank you, God. The week started off with a party, and I want to tell the story about going into the Vineyard Vines party. My friends over at Vineyard Vines, such a great family and team up there in Connecticut, invited me and my old business partner, Evan Roosevelt, to their party, hosted by none other than a friend of golf, Jim Nance. Jim Nance began commentating at an early age. He was curious about the world, specifically sport. He wasn't going to become an athlete himself, but instead, he would become a friend of the athlete, the voice of the athlete, if you will, and he would detail in excruciating and poetic detail. I use that word twice. For effect. The happenings of the sporting event of the day. And in the end, he would become Mr. Masters. A voice we look forward to hearing all week long. That early weekend in April. To mark the beginning of the golf season. Where golfers across the world crack open their icy casing and thaw out their winter boots and exchange them for loafers and Adidas CrossNet Ultra Boost Tor 360s. They order a sleeve of Weiss balls from Munich, Germany, and they put on their wonderfully crisp new leather glove made out of some type of animal product that I don't want to tell you about. But if you Google it, you can find out the strange origin of the golf glove. And they pick up their tailor-made clubs with fresh, clean grips because they've soaped them up the night before in the tub and cleaned out the grooves with their brother's or sister's toothbrush. That would be dark. Anyway, Jim Nantz got to have a night with the Vineyard Vines party, and really, you know, I took a photo of it, put it on Instagram. I'm going to get a coffee. Hang on. Started doing the Starbucks mobile order. So now I just go through and I'm like Mr. Incredible. I walk into the Starbucks and I'm out 8 seconds later with a coffee and a sandwich. So anyway, we're at this party and we're yucking it up. We're having a great time. We're with all of the buyers. Morning, how are you? Some gentlemen in black just walked by. They look pretty important. I'm going to hope that they don't stop me from recording this. Okay, looks like we're good. Anyway, so we're yucking it up with all the buyers from all the prominent clubs there that Vineyard Vines sells to. The PGA Show is basically been going on since the early 90s, and all of the golf companies that desire to sell to pro shops come out here, and some of them to win their business and others to merely expand upon their current business. So you'll see a company like Jones Golf Bags comes down and they put all of their golf bags on display, and then all of the golf shops that have Jones in their shop will come in and order bags and shoe bags and dop kits and backpacks and laptop cases, all sorts of great Jones products to put your things in. Jones is a company that makes things to put things in. That should be their new tagline. I'm going to talk to them about that today. You know, they order the merch, the merchandise show. They order it, and then in some cases, they'll come in and be curious about it. The head pro of, I'm forgetting the name of the course. The head pro of Bushwood, who wasn't really a character in the film. Now that I think about it, from Caddyshack, will come in and order. Maybe see Jones on the wall and say, you know, maybe I want Jones in my shop. Maybe my members would like to buy Jones. Maybe we can give them a free bowl of soup with that beautiful, handmade, American, traditional golf bag. You know, the owner of Jones was a cab driver, right? Okay, great. We're going to move on from that. You could watch the video. We'll tell you about it. Anyway, they come in and maybe they win their business. Winning their business. So anyway, we're in this little party here in Del Frisco's Steakhouse, where they served me perhaps one of the best steaks I've had in the last couple weeks. It was well cooked. Medium well. Medium rare. We were there and kind of talking to all these people. And to my absolute surprise, I was welcomed as a member of the community. Random Golf Club, indeed, had a place at the table. And I was very grateful and stunned at that. And anyway, as I got up to go to the bathroom after some time, Jim Nantz had addressed the crowd and told a story about caddying for Jack when he was a kid, and you know, all this great storytelling going on, and looking at the Vineyard Vines products, which, you know, obviously are, you know, as American as can be. I mean, you get a Vineyard Vines vest, and might as well be your immigration document. You come into the United States, pick up a Vineyard Vines shirt. That's actually not the right accent. It's more Nantucket, Cape Cod, salmon pants, JFK. But I do like that vibe. So anyway, Jim's done his talking. He sits back down, and we're all kind of milling about. And so I walk out to go to the bathroom. And the only way to get out to go to the bathroom is by the head of all of these tables, probably 30 tables in this room. And the only way out is to pass Jim Nantz. He's the proverbial gatekeeper. And I'd met Jim Nantz a couple years ago at the Masters at a Wheels Up party. I'm sorry, NetJets. Very different. And I remember Jim Nantz announced that evening, and he said, "Hello, friends. Welcome to a very special evening with NetJets." And I was just like, I think he just made $500 million because that was so intense that even I got chills. So I did go up to him that night and I said, Jim, I hate to bother you. I'd really love to have a photo. And he said, oh, of course not. What's your name? I said, my name's Eric. And he said, Eric, I'd love to take a photo with you. And I said, Jim, you know, it's also a big, big week for me because I really wanted to meet you. And I also won the lottery today. This is Friday. I won the lottery today and I'm going to go play Augusta on Monday. And he just completely exploded into a candle of enjoyment and happiness and sort of excitement. Even gratitude with me. He shared the gratitude that I had for the golf gods bestowing on me a great and tremendous gift. And he said to me, first thing he said was, did you bring your clubs? He knew exactly where I was at. He knew exactly what the story was about at that point, which was, did I have my sticks to tee off on number one? We talked a bit. We got a great photo, and I felt just very excited about that opportunity. And anyway, so as I'm walking by Jim Nantz, you know, this week, almost 2 years later, he goes, he literally jumps up out of his chair mid-conversation with some very important and prominent golf people, guys behind the guys. And he says to me, Eric, really big fan of all that you're doing. And I mean, I was so taken aback, I almost instantaneously exploded and completely disappeared with excitement. I was going to say I almost had items come out of my mouth and another area. Like, it was just immediate, just dispersal of interior product from my body. I mean, it was so incredible. Like, and again, he lit the candle. Light the candle. I love that one. When you're on the tee box, light the candle. I don't even know what it means. I think it means like light the firecracker, light the rocket. Don't really know. But so Jim stands up and sees me. And he said, nice to meet you. So I don't think he remembers that we met, which is obviously going to happen. I mean, if you're Jim Nantz, you're meeting 5,000 people a year. If you play golf, you know who Jim Nantz is. So, you know, it's just was incredible to, sorry, that's a bus dropping off men with rolling suitcases and blazers. So, you know, talking to him for a minute there, he said, you know, I'm really grateful for all you do to grow the game, and I hope you continue. And even as I say it now, it's almost like it didn't even happen. It was just absolutely incredible to be a witness of and a not just a spectator, to be a point of it all. It was very wonderful. And so we talked a little bit. He said, you should come up to the house and play some golf, play the par three. And I was like, well, yeah, I'd love to. We should do a podcast and we'll do Ace Cam. And he said, What's Ace Cam? I can't really do his voice. And I said, well, you know, it's where we, you know, try to get a hole in one. And, you know, every par three, we film it. And he was very intrigued by the idea. And he said, well, let's do it. And I said, great. What's your cell phone number? I literally put him on the spot. Like, I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to ask your cell phone number because, I mean, hey, like, what? I mean, what else do you have to do? And he hesitated a little bit as I pulled my phone out, and he just started reading me off his number. And then I saved it as Jim Nantz. And then I texted him, and I said, nice to meet you, Jim. And then later that night, he texted back. I'm going to read what he said. What did he say? Hang on. He said, stand by. Wow. I can't believe his name's on my phone. Jim Nantz. He said, got it, Eric. Good to meet you, exclamation point. Wow, now I'm feeling very ashamed because I wrote Jim as Eric, no punctuation. Wow, I should at least put a exclamation point in there. And he said, got it, Eric, good to meet you, exclamation point. And then I have red receipts turned on, and I didn't respond because I don't want to bug the guy. I don't want to be up in his grill, so I just let it go. And anyway, that's the Jim Nantz story. Very, very excited about that part of the week. And hopefully going to bring you an episode on YouTube of Adventures in Golf. Nope, that's not true. I'm distracted because I'm looking at some... I took some notes of things to talk about. Great. Yeah. And I'm excited to bring you an episode of... I'm not even sure what we're going to do. I guess we're going to do like a podcast and we'll play golf at his house. It'll probably be after the Masters. I said, can we do it before the Masters? And he just said, that's going to be tough. And I could tell that it would be tough the way he said it. I was just like, you're right. That's going to be very tough. Let's not do that. Let's do something else. Let's do something that's not tough, Jim Nance. I gotta take a quick break. Hang on. Sorry, I had to take a quick coffee break because I only run on jet fumes. Love jet fuel. Love the smell of jet fuel. I think jet fuel is actually, correct me if I'm wrong, I think jet fuel is a gelatinous in its composition. Am I wrong about that? I just feel like when you spray jet fuel, it's not liquid. I feel like it's gelatinous. I could be totally wrong about that, and I should ask a pilot soon. Maybe if I see one today, I'll ask him, what is the consistency of jet fuel? Inquiring minds want to know, sir. Tell me what the... Excuse me. Imagine bursting into the cockpit upon... trying to find your seat. Excuse me, I just wonder what the consistency of jet fuel is. Is it gelatinous or liquid in nature? Also, what's the best emergency exit? Oh, that's a good question to know. You always want to know, it might be behind you, folks. So make sure to turn around. Turn around. All right, I'm going to have to cut this short, folks. I think I might continue this from my closet. We'll see. If this podcast says 30 minutes left, it means I continued it from the closet. If not, over and out, sayonara, amigos. And I'm going to go find Trent. We're going to do a great podcast. But there is more to talk about in the wrap-up in general of the PGA show. It has been a great pleasure and an honor to represent my country. In the PGA show, we have a new business. It is a putter aid. I can teach you how to putt like the pros. What we do is we line up wood chips and we set them in a line. And then the wood chips are from my company. They are not actual wood. They are magnets. And they are actual asteroid. They are parts of the moon. And these wood chips, we call them wood chips merely because it's like a golf thing. But we use the wood chips to create a line. And you putt on top of the wood chips. And it's very tricky because it throws it offline. So you have to hit it at what we call in my home country ramming speed. And so you hit the putt very hard, way harder than you would actually hit it in real life. But it teaches you the difficulty of golf. And ultimately, if you can make a putt with 500 bad bounces, you could make a putt that sits through. And this is great for the professional and great for the beginner. The asteroid bits, also known as wood chips, will be selling for $2.99 per piece. We recommend 72 pieces in the starter kit. So quick math tells me that's 2,100 shekels. And I don't know the current conversion rate for shekels and what your religious affiliations would be, but ultimately, for just $5,000, we'll call it, you could be the best putter on earth. And honestly, I'm not sure why we are currently struggling. And I don't even have a booth at the PGA show, but I have the wood chips, as it were, in my bag, and I could sell them to you right now. Okay, 5,000 is too much. How about 500? $500. Okay, $50. Okay, do you have any money on your Starbucks card? Because I will take Starbucks money. No? Okay. Will you just get me an Uber to my hotel? I will give you all my widgets on an Uber to the hotel. I apologize. I deeply apologize. All right. Much love, fellas. We'll see you soon. All right, guys. Got a read for you from Devereaux. As you know, I travel quite a lot, and I mean a lot. That's italicized, so I really am supposed to emphasize that second one. A lot. I need easy care and comfortable apparel to get me through my long trips. I just started wearing this brand that started in Arizona by two brothers called Devereaux, Devereux. I actually didn't know it started in Arizona, which is pretty cool. I'm excited to meet these guys because I do
really dig their clothes. I like wearing them. The fabric, the design, the fit, it's all there. Anyway, these dudes are making apparel for a lifestyle exactly like mine, like yours truly, like your guy Eric. Golf, travel, and kicking back. They design all their products with some type of performance feature. I don't know what it is. I'm going to dig into it at some point. But it adds stretch to each piece, and it keeps me comfortable whether it's on the flight or on the course or at dinner afterwards. I feel kind of like a G rolling in with this Devereaux gear. Anyway, check them out. The Devereaux Brothers and their apparel at dvrxthreads.com and use my name, Eric, E-R-I-K, at checkout to receive 20% off your first order. Again, it's dvrxthreads.com. You can also find them on Insta. Use my name, Eric, E-R-I-K, at checkout to get 20% off your first order. Support the brands that support what we do. I think they're cool. You probably would too. The pants are also rad. Quarter zips, you know, whatever. Just have a nuts at it. 20% off your first order, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, you could save some cash if you spent some. All right, later. All right, I'm going to catch me now. We got... give me a second, all right? I'm about to do an ad read for Vice Golf. I don't even have a read, so this is an ad lib. This is an ad-libbed read. Anyway, Vice Golf, you all know I love the brand. They make a great golf ball, and there are things that I would tell you in person about the golf ball that I can't tell you in a public forum. But basically, the golf ball is amazing. Technically speaking, on tests, it performs as good or better than what we call, quote, the best golf ball on tour. Now, the Vice Golf Ball also has one cool thing, which is that it's cool. Obviously, the scripting is really sweet. But beyond that, it has another cool thing. I'm going to keep pulling cool things out of this ball. The second cool thing is that you can't get it in a pro shop. So go online, go to vicegolf.com, and get your slick balls. They've got all different types. They've got the tour, they've got the drive, they've got the pro, they've got the pro plus, they've got different colors, and you can also personalize less than, you can personalize, I don't know what number you can personalize, but you can personalize them, whereas other brands don't let you personalize them except for once a year. So check out vicegolf.com, get yourself some smooth and cool balls for the course, that is. Anyway, y'all, see you in the showers until the next ad read. Precision Pro, folks. I'm going to do an ad-libbed Precision Pro read. Here's the thing about Precision Pro. They're made by some great guys in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's got great design. And coming out soon, you're going to get a very special colorway of the NX9 Pro with slope. Is that right? That's it. I got a thumbs up in the studio here that's the exact rangefinder. Not only do you get free battery replacement for life, but you get slope. And you get laser, I mean, it is a laser, laser sharp accuracy. And you get, I don't know, you just get to be part of something cool that I'm down with. So Precision Pro is great. Obviously, the family there in Cincinnati makes them good. We did an RGC there. If you haven't seen it, check out the video on the YouTube channel. We gave everybody a rangefinder. But stay tuned. Coming around April, we're going to be releasing a random golf club version of this rangefinder. It is the most beautiful rangefinder I've ever seen on planet Earth. And I, as you know, I haven't traveled any other planets yet. I've done a lot of countries and states and towns, continents, hemispheres. But I've never left the planet. And I was just talking to someone who said that that's on their bucket list. It's not on mine. I don't share that. But on this planet, the Random Golf Club rangefinder will literally blow your mind, but it won't blow your wallet. The rangefinder for everyone, people. Enjoy it. All right, folks. Adidas. Adidas is pushing the boundaries once again in golf footwear. And if you've been counting, I haven't been counting. It's a lot of times, but they're doing it again. So whatever many times it's been, it's at one. So you need to check this out. It's called the Code Chaos, all capitals. The footwear team let me know that this shoe is meant to break down traditional stereotypes and make a statement that there doesn't have to be one look for the sport when it comes to golf footwear. It's athletic and bold from a style standpoint, but this shoe is seriously packed with technology. It's spikeless, but beyond just being tested with guys like DJ and Xander, they did heat map studies. Heat map. That means they know where you are right now. They literally know. And watch, I'm telling you, you're going to get an ad for Adidas footwear in your feed. I'm telling you, and it's not me. I don't know if it's them. It's probably Xander, not DJ. Xander's got an X in his name, so he's a little more sinister. Even though I would probably feel more likely that DJ would really... He could do some damage with the club to my face. So to see how players shift their weight, they use this heat mapping technology to see where they shift their weight, but also where you are physically at this current moment throughout the swing. So anyway, with all that info, they created a new traction system called Twist Grip. Twist Grip. That's spelled the way it sounds. Anyway, so the players get the grip they need exactly where they need it, and this is an ad lib, and when they need it. That's, I just added that. It's waterproof. Waterproof is key. Let's get honest, folks. If you want a waterproof shoe, unless you live in the desert, you can wear sandals or moccasins. But for everybody else, you need the waterproof shoe. So hit up the code CHAOS. It's waterproof, lightweight, and obviously has the boost cushioning, which we all love. There's even a high top BOA version, which I'm not sure I'm man enough to rock, but John Rahm is. But he's also, he's very, very good at golf. We can all agree. These things are next level, so get yourself a pair. Head over to adidas.com/codechaos. Spelled the way it sounds. Although the CH in chaos sounds more like a K. So it's CODECHAOS. And shop the styles and follow Adidas Golf on Instagram and Twitter for all the latest news from Les Trois Stripes. That's three stripes, folks. All right, one more ad read. I'll probably do another one after this. Jones Sports Co., folks. If you want the bag that I rock, it's the Jones Sports bag. They got the Player Series. They got the original. What are the other? What's the other models they got? The stand bags? We're pulling it up in the studio, folks. But here's the thing. Jones, if you haven't seen the video on YouTube yet, please check it out. We went up there, visited with them. We designed a lot of cool stuff. We're going to be designing more stuff. We have two bags on the Random Golf Club site that have the Random Golf Club script on it. The Utility Trooper is the info I'm getting of the name of the other bag that I like. It's got the stand bag. I mostly rock the original, which is based on a design from the 70s. What's his name, Jones? His name was Mr. Jones? Mr. Jones and me. Now, that guy got in a lot of trouble for some, what's that? Taxi cabs. But the guy who sang the song, Mr. Jones, he's gotten a lot of trouble. Don't want to talk about him. But Mr. Jones, not that the song is written about, was a taxi driver in New York. He made a golf bag out of the upholstery in his taxi. And that's where Jones has come from. So they're obviously the comfortable shoulder strap on the original series is what I love. Got a lot of cargo space, and you got three pockets to hold all your clubs. And you look basically like a badass. If you don't have a significant other at the start of the round, you will have one at the end. Am I right? Watch out. It's you know, that's the studio here says, get a Jones bag. I'm not going to say get laid, but basically that's what's going to happen. I mean, I didn't say it. You said it. You heard it. I didn't say it. Jones Sports, everybody. Love them. TaylorMade, folks. I got to tell you, the first golf clubs that ever went in my little old hands were TaylorMade Burner Oversize. They had some crusty old grips that I redid myself, at risk of my own fingertips with the razor, and I got high, because I don't know if you've ever re-gripped your clubs, but you become an inhalant addict, because you're putting like really noxious stuff. Don't grip your own clubs unless you really want to. Anyway, mad respect. Give me a fist bump whenever I see you. I grip my own clubs. I put the grips on them myself. I saved. How much did you save? I mean, you could save money. You save money because I think you put them on. It's like $20 each. And you buy the grips yourself. It's like $8. By the way, regripping 14 clubs, I mean, that's like a lot. Go buy TaylorMade's instead. They come with grips. My favorite TaylorMade edition now, obviously the Sim Max I'm playing, is a monster club. One of the many things Tiger Woods have and I in common is playing the Sim. But also, I kind of love the wedges. The raw-faced wedges, MG. I both love the high toe in matte black. I also have a matte black shaft. I know you didn't ask, but I went ahead and told you. Anyway, TaylorMade, my favorite thing about TaylorMade beyond the incredibly performing equipment is the people that make this company up. The band of brothers down here, the band of sisters, the family in Carlsbad really, really gets behind what we do, and that means it's important for you to get behind what they do. So go support TaylorMade, everybody, and hit them straight, or just don't. Just hit them with TaylorMade's, though. Just stop messing around with all the others. Hit them straight with TaylorMade, but just hit TaylorMade at least. I mean, if you're not, I mean, just go. I mean, what are you doing? Just pause the pod. Go on TaylorMade. What's their website? They don't even need a website. Just go find TaylorMade ASAP. There should be, what? What I play? I play okay, studio is asking me to play. I play the P760s, four through pitch. Then I've got the milled grind raw face 50, 54, and 58. And then I'm in between the Gapper and the Sim Hybrid right now. I play the two Gapper. I've got a steel shafted 6.5 Project X in that one, as with all the irons. And then on the driver, I have the Sim Max with a 9 degree. I'm still working on getting my numbers on that. I don't really know. I got the 10.5 and the 9. We're going to do a little experimentation. Maybe, honestly, you know what? Whatever one I don't use, how about it's yours? How about that? I don't know how we're going to manage this. Head over to the Instagram account. Get ready for the old giveaway of the driver that I can't hit. Anyway, TaylorMade's the family, folks. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the second half of the PGA Show breakdown, as it were. I am, believe it or not, far away from where we started the podcast. Not only is it nighttime, it is days later, and I am back in Los Angeles in my former office, current closet storage unit. I've got a suitcase ripped open, bunch of clothes draped around it, getting ready for the next trip. And yeah, I mean, you know, just finishing off where we left off, which was watching PGA professionals and exhibitors enter the great hall, as it were, the Orange County Convention Center. Anyway, you know, not the great stories have all been told. I'll be totally honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if this second half is 5 minutes. But you know, I'm still committed to doing that second half. Let's see what else even happened. Oh, I know what happened. The Random Golf Club visited Winter Park, the wonderful little 9-hole course that could. Keith Reb and Riley Johns, Machinella, and the mayor over there of Winter Park, wonderful little neighborhood in sort of, I think it's in the city of Orlando. Anyway, we had a wonderful afternoon. 50 of y'all came out, and we played golf as a 50-some, and I'm sure you've heard me talk about this before, the experience of going out and doing that type of work for me is very valuable, and work is not really the right word. It feels more like it's obviously a party, but you know, it came together. And we had some great fun. And, you know, it's the funniest thing, the best, most interesting takeaway I have is that they're all different. Each event is completely different. It's got its own, you know, obviously beginning, middle, and end. But it's got its own, you know, its own characters, right? And I don't know really the difference. You know, as we travel around, we look at the differences wherever we end up, you know, and architecture is an easy way to see it. The smells, the language, the currency, the type of food. Obviously, another great man in this sort of field went around and dealt with food around the world. And we do it with golf. And golf isn't quite as varied as food or other things, but golf has all of those other things in it, right? You've got, you know, different languages, but within the United States, where golf is the most prevalent, 18,000 of our 30,000 worldwide courses take place in America. So it's an American game, maybe by numbers. Obviously, in spirit, it's a worldwide game. But Winter Park, you showed us a great time. It was the perfect layout. We played 9 holes in about 2.5 hours with 50 people, and no one got a hole in one. A lot of people came close. I came pretty close, if I do say so myself. And it was just a magical afternoon. We teed off with the lead tee off was Richard, who's a member there of the Winter Park Golf Course, and his wife, Natalie. They're members of the course, and they're also Hickory golfers. So they play with the Hickory clubs, as you saw from season 3 of Adventures in Golf up in Belvedere. And they welcomed us all, and Greg, the director of golf, welcomed us. And my partner for the day, because as you know, we play as a 50-some, and on par 4s and 5s, that means we play alternate shots. So you pick a partner that you don't know, and then on par 3s, we all hit. And my partner was Brandon, who had been playing golf for 6 months, and that's how we determine the guests there, is who's been playing golf the least amount of time. Because in my opinion, you may have heard this before in another episode, The newest golfer is the most important golfer on the course. They know the least. They are the most, maybe, fragile is not really the right word, but you know, they have the most to gain from the game, potentially, in my opinion. And they also may be the first to leave. They might just say, you know, this isn't for me. And that's kind of where the welcoming spirit of Random Golf Club really takes part. And as always, my favorite part of the night is the end, not because I'm, you know, I don't want it to end, but there's something about the ending. We all realize that the window of opportunity is closing to say what we want to say, you know, to get a phone number or whatever it is, get a photo with each other, you know, and those that after the ice has all been broken and melted and we're coming down the last hole, that's when it really becomes the community that I crave, you know, and that I desire to kind of, you know, create with these events. You know, I'm just a sojourner. I come and go and, you know, we come back maybe. And, you know, it's kind of like I'm just doing as much as I can right now. We're trying to do as much work as we can to just set these up and get them rolling. You know, that's just really the thing that inspires me most. So that was very special. You know, within that event, I mean, we met a kid from Denmark, who was on a, you know, student abroad, study abroad. I didn't study very much ever, so I can't really, I am abroad, but I don't study. So anyway, no, I study, but you know, it's different. And just, you know, there was actually, we did the, podcast with Brandel Chambly in the morning on Saturday, and that was a really fun experience. And I put out a call saying, hey, if you have any questions for the podcast, let me know and I'll shoot you a hat. And the question that I chose was, you know, Brandel, how was the transition from being a amateur to a pro and then from being a pro to a broadcaster? And I thought that was a good question. And I asked Brandel, he said, that's a good question. I said, well, there you go. Mateo from none other than Winter Park had issued the question and he had already gotten his ticket to come to the Random Golf Club event. So that was great to see him there and be like, yo, thank you for the question. I mean, that's really when we look at golf is a vehemently local sport, right? Like we have our club, we play with our friends, we play locally, right? We manage that all in our neighborhood. We have our favorite courses. And then sometimes we travel. Obviously my golf life is a bit unusual because most of my golf takes place outside of my county. Most of my rounds are not in my home state. A lot of my rounds are not even in my home country. So, you know, I'm kind of out there on the edge, lonely, you know, a vestige of the game, just sort of waking up in the wee hours with jet lag and stumbling to that first tee, you know, and wondering where is the fairway? But, you know, the feeling of being welcomed into these communities is rather, it's beyond it's hard to describe it, right? It just sort of enters into this space of feeling impressed with what we can do together. And ultimately that's where, you know, the satisfaction comes, I think, from everybody when they leave a Random Golf Club event. And I will keep pushing. We will keep doing more. We've got events set for Phoenix. I don't know. This episode should. I would have wanted this episode to come out Monday, but we've got the Jim Fish podcast, so you may have already heard that. We'll probably put this out middle of next week during the waste management. And but you know, we've got events planned in LA February 9th. We haven't really announced it yet, but we're going to be doing it at Penmar, a large group, and hopefully we're going to be able to accomplish a live podcast, which would be really fun. And then the next after that, I don't know, but that's 4 and 5 weeks, which is a high frequency. That's a lot of RGC for not a lot of weeks. And then we're definitely going to do one at every major. So Masters, we're probably going to go to Aiken. I should probably call them and figure that out. What a great spot. And then PGA, we're going to be up in San Francisco. Obviously, love that city. And we'll be doing, I think, Fleming, the little par 3 course within the Harding Park golf community there. And then we are going to go to, obviously, the Open. And, well, first we're going to go to the U.S. Open in New York. And I'm not really sure where we're going to do it there. There's some courses up in near Wingfoot, or we could do it at Moshaloo in the middle of the city. I don't really know. And then, obviously, the Open. My friends over there, Allie, who owns the Prince's Club, just got a text from Tony, working on some art for the Arizona RGC. Anyway, then we're going to do the Royal St. George's is where the Open is going to be this year, and it's sandwiched right next to Royal Cinque-Ports, which held the British Open, an Open, and Prince's, which also held an Open. So there's three courses have all held Opens, and they all border each other, kind of like Shinnecock and National, or kind of like all the five courses at Bethpage, or Woodley Lakes, Balboa, and Encino, if you're an LA guy. So that is really special because Allie and her husband and her family own the Prince's Hotel, and they've got a set up to do an RGC at Prince's Saturday of the Open. So there will be world championship golf taking place at Royal St. George's, and then right across the gravel road will be just hunkered down doing an RGC over there at Prince's. So that's really exciting. And then as the year continues on, as we do adventures in golf in South America and Vietnam, we'll do them there. I'm not sure how big they'll be. It could be just a handful, and that's awesome too. I think the idea here is that we just sort of keep learning. I always treat every endeavor as like just a great opportunity to make a huge mistake and just see what we can get out of it. It's almost like, I'm just like, let's just get on the road, right? We cannot in any way figure out what's going to happen, right? We can't guess what we're going to get as far as learning comes from these events or production or, we built a lot of this stuff, the YouTube channel and the Instagram and the Twitter and the Facebook and, everything like that. This is obviously true. You know this, but it was never like a corporate sort of entity like, oh, okay, we need an agency. We need a, this and that. We need, consultant and, ad dollars and media spend. I mean, it was literally just like, well, this is interesting. Let's see what this, let's throw this up there. And it's the same with RGC. And, honestly, if I'm being completely honest, I don't want the random golf club events to be too slick, and this was a little more slick. We had merch, we had a little rack to show the merch, we had a little price sheet so people knew how much things cost. And I was like, this feels like fucking Nordstrom's, I don't know. It's like I'm a little shy of that, but at the same time, it's like, well, whatever. I mean, it's like, we've learned that you're going to ask these questions. And so now when we arrive before the event, I kind of know the questions that are going to be asked. For example, how are we going to play 50 people on one hole? And so we run through that, and we run through the, don't hit anybody with a golf ball is a huge thing to let people know they need to not do. Actually, someone did hit a car at Winter Park. And it's a tight little track. Like there's the road and the city is right there on the edge of the property. So yeah, when someone hit the car, it was on the second tee. And everybody was holding their breath, watching the ball head right towards this white Volkswagen Jetta, brand new car. And he just took him down, just dunk right on the hood. And I immediately was like, oh, here we go. This is where we run into problems. But, technically speaking, we had a lawyer on site who said it's not our problem. That's the risk you run from driving by a golf course. Who knew? That would piss me off, to be totally upfront. And the thing is, I would need to just take it as it comes, because as a golfer, right, it's like, well, I guess I could have done the same thing. It's kind of like pay it forward, I guess. I don't know. But they did not stop. So there was no legal action pursued. But I was worried there would be. And, so the whole like orientation and the whole understanding of how the process works is all really important. And, we just keep learning. So that's great. And I don't you know, I'm not afraid to make mistakes. I think that's key, right? I know that the definition, the etymology rather, of the word perfect, actually, it relates to the quality of something being finished, right? Perfect is just saying this is done. It's not saying this is without mistakes or without faults or without potential for improvement or without, you know, certain realities that caused us to not make it in the way that we might have made it had we had more time, more money, more people, whatever it is. So perfect, it just means finished. 18 holes, you played your round, you're done. No matter what you shot, it is perfect. It is finished. So that really struck me when I learned that years ago, because in golf, you know, you really want to experience perfection. You want a flush drive right in the fairway. You want a flush iron 5 feet short right of the pin. You want that little uphill left, right to left putt, and you want to go inside of the cup, and you want to make a birdie. And that, I'm assuming, is perfection, but we don't really get that very often, and I watch the people on TV, and they don't get that very often. I mean, I watch Jon Rahm hack it out of the ravine at Torrey like old EAL over here. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, one of those definitions of perfect is ultimately very much looking at, you know, why do we want it to be perfect? You know, why do we care? Is it, it's ego, ultimately, I'm assuming, but we could just let it go. I mean, the truth is, the is funny because I don't, at the random golf club events, it's not really about how you play. I mean, you want to hit a good shot. You got a lot of people watching. You don't want to just duff it. You don't want to heel it. You don't want to top it. You don't want to chunk it and watch it go 5 feet, but it's going to happen. Inevitably, it's going to happen. And that is okay. I hit some of the worst shots I've hit in the last calendar year, not just at an event, but in my life during this event. I think I cold topped like four of them. And, you know, I mean, it's like, it's up to me to set the example of just sort of letting it go, but I'll be damned if it didn't bug the hell out of me. But you know, that's fine. That's just what it is. So, you know, it definitely burned me a little bit. Like I was like, okay, that burns. But watching that happen, and you know, that's kind of thing about golf is like, we can talk about this. I can literally do a podcast about how golf is not a game of perfect. Bob Rotella can write a book with that title, and obviously I'd be stealing because he wrote his book first. Dr. Joe Parent can write a book about results are not really the thing to be looked at in golf. It's about the process. We all know these things, yet somehow I think you too, if I know you, I think we all go to golf to experience this. We all end up literally signing up for the same curriculum every time we play. And it's a reminder, a repeating, an evolving, and yet totally same experience of, oh, right, this shot is over. It's already happened. I'm upset. How am I going to deal with that? I need to move on and hit the ball again, and I want to do it well. Is it better to do it if I'm angry, or is it better to do it if I'm happy and grateful and just energy focused on the present moment and being here? Because in the present moment, there is no former shot. There is no last shot. The ball is just here. However it got here, we don't know. The truth is, you could have hit a flush shot that hit a bird and then got knocked there anyway. So this idea that we're a bad golfer, that our ego is stuck in this and that, or that we shouldn't be here. I mean, this all goes back to the video that we posted last year that says, watch this before you play golf, about the, based on the Jocko podcast, good. Oh, your mission got canceled? Good. We've got time to focus on another one. Oh, your firearm isn't working? Good. You've got a chance to use another tool, right? I mean, it's the idea that no matter what happens to us or what we create, good, we've got the chance to literally present a positive mindset on solving a problem, because ultimately our life is just a series of problems to be solved. And that's not pessimistic, that's just the reality. We get to choose what problems we want to solve.
more or less. Do I want to solve problems to do with the law? Okay, I'm going to go be a lawyer or a paralegal or a judge or whatever. Do I want to solve problems with crime, with people who are struggling with drug addiction, with people who are struggling with taxes, right? You know, do I like math? Okay, well, then I would like to solve problems that have to do with math. Well, for me, I like people and I like being outside and I like this individual sport, the game of golf that we play together. It's a strange game that we walk through with blinders on, really. We go into the course with blinders on like old Seabiscuit, you know? We roll into the golf course with these blinders on, and we forget that there's lots of other people there that are also interested in playing the same game, and by golly, we might have something in common, no matter what the differences are. That's why I really don't want to talk to you about politics, because all politics does is divide us. And all religion does is divide us. And a lot of divisive conversation is not really what I'm interested in doing. I don't care. I don't care how different we are. I don't like debating. I don't really care how different we are. Unless it's a cultural difference that we can agree on. And we can say, that's interesting that you do it this way. That's interesting that you do it that way. We do it this way, which there's no bet. Who knows which way is better? But, you know, I mean, that's really why... You know, it's like, it's kind of like the golf brands out there. You know what I mean? There's a ton of clubs you can buy. And to some extent, what brand of clubs you buy does kind of put you into a group, a category of those subset of you. Oh, I'm like this guy. I'm the guy that plays this club. I play this brand of clubs, right? I'm this kind of guy. I'm a classic American guy. Oh, I'm a young guy. I like the color orange. Oh, I like performance, you know? Oh, I like handmade. Oh, I like the Japanese kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, but ultimately, those are not in any way how we define ourselves and who we are and what we do. I think it's much bigger than that. And I see that happening at Random Golf Club on the events. And I see some discomfort on the first hole because it's so freaking foreign to people, right? It's so unusual that we would all just show up and have to introduce ourselves to people, because on some level, the level of openness that's demanded from living this life is, I think, higher than I ever wanted to have. And then once you jump in, the ice cold water is invigorating. But until you do that, it's terrifying. And I don't want to do it. And actually, that was the best comment. One of the best moments I had at the PGA show, aside from interviewing Trent Jones, Robert Trent Jones' son, and Robert Trent Jones Jr.'s son, and Robert Trent Jones, the original first, I don't know how you say it, grandson, you know, just hundreds of beautiful golf properties and courses around the world, Spyglass notwithstanding, one of my favorites. Trent and I talked. That was one of my favorite moments. You'll hear the pod. You're going to love it. It's just a banger, just a solid, he is our guy, you know what I mean? Just shows up in a Patagonia shirt with clogs and a Casio, just repping difficult mud golf greens, plumbing, drainage, flags, cups, fescue, zoysia, poana, Bermuda, rye, dormancy, I mean runoff. He's just deep in the golf game to a degree that you cannot dispute his level of all-encompassing 10 fingers in this shit, you know? And that was, for me, a highlight, because this guy lives it. He doesn't talk it. He doesn't show it. He lives it. And that, for me, was really exciting. But one of the other highlights of the PGA show was, guy comes up to me, doesn't even stop walking. He says, cold showers changed my life. And I was like, dude, that is so inspiring, you know? And really, I think I already said this on the first half of the podcast, but it was yesterday that we started that one, or 2 days ago, and I have since forgotten everything we talked about. But those of you that came up to me at the PGA show and said, thanks for the podcast, honestly, that is so much fuel for me to keep going, because the podcast for me is fun, right? I enjoy doing it. It's a great time. It is like, it's just like a real way of connecting. So if you said that, thank you so much. If you feel that, if you're still listening, thank you. I'm going to go. I got to finish some salt and vinegar chips. I got to pack a suitcase. And tomorrow, I'm not sure when this episode is going to air, but tomorrow I'm going to wake up. What is it? It's 7 p.m. in Los Angeles right now. I'm going to wake up at 5:30 a.m.
and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work out. I'm going to focus mostly on mobility and flexibility. I'm not going to do a lot of weightlifting. I'm going to go over to UGP over there on Sepulveda. And then I'm gonna hammer a coffee after that. And then I'm going to come back home and I'm going to take an ice cold shower. Then I'm going to get dressed. I got my outfit all picked out. I'm going to wear, I got a pair of tan Vineyard Vines five-pocket pants. Love those people. Then I got a, what shirt am I wearing? I'm going to wear a Link Soul golf shirt with a little pocket, nice little collar. Probably throw on a little sweater over that, you know, because it might be kind of chilly tomorrow. Because what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to head over to Riviera in advance of the Genesis Open. And I'm going to attempt for the fourth time, folks, I am going to try to break 90. And I've got a good feeling it's going to happen. I've got all the kit ready to go. Everything's set up. And we're gonna really, you know, just take it. I think I'm going to watch Be the Ball tonight, the movie that you haven't seen because it's not out yet. And I'm just going to watch a movie that I made that I'm in. But it's about the mental side of golf and how the result is not the most important part. So I'm going to try to break 90. But I think what I'm really going to try to, I got to come up with another, you know, purpose, I guess. Maybe I need to find another purpose. I just picture that first tee shot on one, little cut driver, and then I got a 3-wood into the green. We're good. Maybe even a 3-iron. We'll see. I don't know. But anyway, much love to you guys. See you in the showers. Hopefully they're cold and wet. Okay, that was disgusting. It's too late now. All right, enjoy the mower. Enjoy the car. Enjoy the train. Enjoy the boosted board. Enjoy the skateboard. Enjoy the bicycle. Enjoy the golf cart. But most importantly, enjoy your life because you only get one. Ooh. Fucking RIP Kobe. Jesus, man. I show up to my house. We landed in LA at 10:07 a.m. this Sunday. And I guess his helicopter crashed about 20 minutes after that. We were in the same airspace almost. And man, I got home and I was home for an hour, about 11:30, heard the news. And I'm not a huge basketball fan. I never really saw Kobe play. But it's the idea that he was 41 and yeah, I'm 39. I'll be 39 next week. A life half lived, really. As much as he accomplished, there was so much more. You feel like he could have really done a lot. In hindsight, I read about some of the stuff today and I noticed that he talked a lot to LeBron about growing the game, which I thought was interesting because that's really important to me. As much of, you know, cliche people say it is within golf, and ultimately in golf, that's kind of a corporate phraseology, but I believe that it's important. One-to-one, obviously, different thing. And he also wrote in the Players Tribune a piece called Dear Basketball. And I didn't know about that when we created Dear Golf. It was just sort of a coincidence. And I thought, man, we had something in common. We saw the same things here. And so I'm not really fit to offer any tribute to the man. But I think that if I was going to say to you anything about this, that, like I said, I don't really know anything about him from a biographical standpoint. But if there's anything to take away from it, it's that you don't know when your life is halfway over. So get up early. Take the cold shower. Call someone you haven't spoken to in a while. Say sorry if you need to. Pick up your fucking golf ball. Smile. And move on to the next hole. And treat it as the opportunity that it is. Because the opportunity only exists if you lay it out there. If we go through golf and life with our eyes closed, man, it'll be over before we know it and we'll regret most of it. But the idea here is that we can literally move into each step with intention, purpose, gratitude, open-mindedness, and a welcoming nature. And obviously, we don't go quite that deep in every random golf club event, but I think we all get it. And I think we all we behave it. We don't talk about it. We just do it. And I think we all see it. But it's a constant thing. It's every breath we remind ourselves these things. So hopefully, you're having a struggle-free life and you're healthy and happy. And if you're not, I wish that that difficulty is overcome sooner rather than later. Oh, life is this challenging tale. What is the Shakespeare quote? Let's see if I can find it.
It's the shortest quote on earth. I should have remembered it. Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Yikes. That's that. And then underneath it, the tags are despair, futility, hopelessness. You know what? Fuck that quote. Hang on a sec. All right, here's two. I Googled inspiring life quote. This is how we end the podcast, folks. I got a couple. Here's a good one. Those who realize their folly are not true fools. Booyah. I love that one because I make a lot of mistakes. Get them out of the way. Get them out of the way. And then the other one I like is, it's better to be a lion for a day than a sheep all your life. All right, everybody, have a great week. Stay tuned. Stay in touch. Let me know. We're going to be in your city soon, and we're going to try to put together on the Random Golf Club website. Sign up for the mailing list there if you want to get advance notice of the RGC events, because they do sometimes sell out.
Sometimes. And you never know.
And, you know, you want to figure out when we put out the new merch and stuff like that. But we will be in your spot. Chicago, I think, was voted number one from that post. So we will definitely be there. Enjoy your round, folks. See you in the clubhouse. And maybe just the clubhouse for now. Turkey Club will be great. Just the extra crispy bacon and well-done fries. And a Coke, please. That's what I would like. All right.